If you have your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24. For the sake of time this morning, I'm not going to read the verses. We'll be dealing with them, and I'll be reciting some as we go along. But that's our text this morning. We're going to talk about the prodigal son, but more than that, we're going to talk about the prodigal's father and the father's love, and we want to deal with that this morning. Appreciate the messages in song. Appreciate those that rendered special numbers for us. They all did an amazing job, and I appreciate it so very, very much. I think one of the finest stories that's ever been written was written 2,000 years ago. It's a story of the prodigal son. Not counting the appendix that deals with the older brother, the story of the prodigal is told in less than 350 words. Yet the story never grows old. It never fails to charm, never ceases to hammer home the greatness of our God. Even though it's called the parable of the prodigal son, it is essentially the parable of the father's love. Now, we know a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's a matchless, priceless pearl of great wisdom. Jesus came on earth to teach us a new name for God. God had often revealed himself in the Old Testament by means of various names. He was Elohim, he was Jehovah, he was Adonai, he was El Shaddai, he was Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Nisi, and he was the great I Am that I am. He was also the Creator, he was God Almighty, the Lord who provides, the Lord who is our peace, and the Lord who is our banner. But as the ages rolled by and God lived up to the names which he progressively revealed himself to his people, then Jesus came and taught us a new name for God. He taught us that God is our Father, and nowhere more so than in the story of the prodigal son. Now, this story with a companion story of the older brother is simply the story of God the Father. Jesus speaks of God the Father 12 times in these 22 short verses. And if we miss God, then we miss the point of the parable. Well, the story of the prodigal son revolves around two focal points. First of all, there's the far horizons. How do we measure the distance into the far country? Do we measure it in terms of miles or morals? We could measure how far the prodigal traveled in terms of miles if we knew his starting point and if we knew where he wound up. It would simply be a matter of mathematics and geography, but we don't know these things. Neither is it possible to measure how far he traveled away from his home in terms of morals. The scripture tells us that he went into the far country and there he wasted his living, his substance in riotous living. We can only imagine the immoralities that took place, the indecencies, the debaucheries, and the drunkenness. I do know this, that sin always leaves its consequences behind. It always affects other people. No man practices riotous living in isolation of others. According to a special news program a number of years ago, there were thousands of babies left behind following the Vietnam War. American soldiers away from home looking for a good time met up with foreign girls who were glad to make a few extra dollars, and many of them got pregnant, had babies, and the American soldiers, they came home leaving behind these young mothers who had no financial means of taking care of these little children. Most of them wound up in orphanages. How sad. And we can be quite sure that in the end, the prodigal, likewise discovered that the far country is very distant indeed from the Father's house, both in terms of miles and morals. Even the far country had become worse off as a result of the prodigal's having passed that way in his sin. Now, I want to focus for a few moments this morning on the prodigal. Notice, first of all, what the prodigal figured. He figured that if he could just get away from home, if I can just do my own thing, I'll be better off. If I can just get away from home, and evidently the father had some lofty principles and high moral standards, and he expected those that lived under his roof to live in accordance. That's not a bad thing. But the young man decided that the father's life restricted him in what he really wanted to do. He was tired of living this way. He was tired of listening to his father tell him, "No, you can't do that." He figured everybody would be better off if he just left home. But notice what he forgot. He forgot that the path of sin is expensive. I've said this before, but how true it is. Sin will take you farther than you ever thought you could go. It'll make you pay more than you ever thought you could pay. Part of having fun is spending money on things that he coveted, but he could not really afford. He heartlessly demands his share of the family fortune, and then he wastes no time converting it into cash, and off he goes into the far country. Of course, the money soon runs out. Easy come, easy go. The far country is expensive. It takes everything, but it gives nothing. Notice what he found. First, he found some fair-weathered friends. Jesus said when he had spent all, he began to be in want. I'm guessing that he spent a lot of money on these so-called friends, but they all leave him when the cash, the money, runs out. And when he got hungry and when he needed their help, they were nowhere to be found. Verse 16 said, "And no man gave unto him." Next, he found a far-reaching famine. It was not a good time to run out of money. It was a far-reaching famine. Even those who might have been disposed to help him in his time of need were too preoccupied with their own needs to care about him. Now, the Bible talks about 13 famines. It was not a good time to run out of money, and it's really probably never a good time, but it was even worse because of the famine. Even those that might have been disposed to help him cannot. There are 13 famines here. It was a mighty famine, the Lord says, and it comes just when the prodigal is most vulnerable. God sent some circumstances into his life in order to bring him back to the Father. I know this morning something about the prodigal. I remember a young lady that at the early age of about 17 decided she didn't want to live under the Father's rules. That she didn't want to be restricted, and she wanted to get out and have her own way. And she got married, had a child. Her life went from bad to worse. She was a young lady that was very beautiful, had a lot to offer, could have been very successful. But she let the devil come into her life and take her away from where she knew she should have been. Time rolled on by. There was alcohol. There was prescription drugs. And she did damage to her body. And her parents prayed for her. She finally hit rock bottom like this young man. And she had nowhere to go but home. And she came back home. Best thing that ever happened to her. You know, for a long time, it was always daddy's fault, not her fault. For a long time, it was that she just wanted to have her own life. But when she came back home, after a while, she lived with us again, and she rededicated her life. And for the last 2 years of her life, she loved the Lord. Some of you know because you were there. But she worked at the church. She did secretarial work. And 2 weeks before she died, she knew I needed something done in the office. And so she went up to the office, weak, frail, and got it done. Had a good time to talk with her in ICU. She knew she was dying. And I talked to her and I said, "Beck, are you ready for this hour?" And she assured me that she was. We talked. And I told her that it looked like she was going to get there before me. But I would be there. And to be looking for me. But I'm so thankful that because of the Father's love, that he never gave up on her. And he kept reaching out to her. And he brought her all the way back home. Forgave her of all her sins. And now she's in glory. But the prodigal, I can't imagine how it must have been for him to find himself in want and to find himself in such a degrading situation. He was a Jew. They had no dealings with hogs. But he had reached the bottom of the barrel. He had gone as far almost as he could go. And he was slopping the hogs. But the Bible says that he would have feigned filled his belly with the husks which the swine did eat. Sometimes you think you've gone as far as you can go. But when you get down and sin will take you to the bottom and you get down and you start eating the slop from the hogs. How awful. But that's what sin does. Sin will laugh at you in your dilemma. But praise God, he remembered. My Father's servants have plenty of food and bread to spare, and I don't have anything. He made up his mind. He said, I'm going to go back home to the Father. I'm going to tell him I have sinned, and I'm sorry that I've sinned against you and against heaven. And I just want to be a hard servant. Just a hard servant. The Father was looking. Oh, yeah, he was looking every day. He looked down the road. He looked out over the horizon to see if he could see his son coming back. He came back in that old tattered robe and clothes that had just been contaminated by the hog pen. Sin had marked him. Sin had done something in his life. But the Father, when he saw him out on the horizon, the Bible says he ran out to meet him, and he wraps his arms around him. He hugs him up, smelly and all, and said, "Son, I'm so glad you're home." And he put a ring on his finger, the ring of sonship. He put shoes on his feet. And he put a robe on his back. I'm here to tell you that I'm the most thankful dad that could ever live. To know that I know that I know that my daughter, by the grace of God, has been brought back into the fold, and she is now in heaven. But that's the kind of loving God that we serve this morning. He loves us. And we stumble, we falter, we do wrong, but he's willing to forgive us and cleanse us and pick us up, wash us white as snow, and put us on the straight and narrow track again and take us all the way to heaven. The Father loves you. He loves me. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. But aren't you glad he does? Amen. And if you're here this morning, you don't know him, or you're walking a guilty distance from him, brethren, this is the time, this is the hour, this is the place to make it right with God. Make it right with God. I'm telling you, things are happening in this world and in this guy that just reminds us that the Lord is coming back soon. If you're not ready, you better get ready and stay hooked up. Let's bow for prayer.